For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Every moment in between, there'll be joy and there'll be pain. I can't worry about the future or change a thing about my past. I've got this moment to believe, and I'm gonna make it last. I am filled to be emptied.
This is Pastor Michael Rogers from The Jar at 702 H Street Northeast in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. Carrie, you want to come up and pray? I was going to do it, but I feel like I'm supposed to let you.
Oh, it is a pleasure to be here. And this morning, I actually looked at Michael, if I can say this without crying. I woke up and I said, God, I don't want to get out of bed. Covered my head up and I said, I just can't do it by myself. You're going to have to give me strength to get out of this bed this morning because I don't want to. And I told Michael, I watched a video, one of my vices. Came across a video of a pastor who had to announce to his congregation that his wife had killed herself. And he told everyone that after he preached. And I thought if he could get through that sermon and then tell his congregation that message, I can get out of bed and put one foot in front of the other. And here I am. And I'm so glad I did. Our prayer walk this morning was great. Feeling a little revived, still tired, but revived, and I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here too.
Thank you, Keith. Let's start with the word of prayer. Father God, as we start this evening, Lord, just speak through me. Don't let my words come out, Lord, only the words that you want spoken. Father, just help us to stay focused on why we're here, and that's just to draw closer to you and to learn through these words that you have provided for us, for they are your breath to us. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Well, I will be in Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 32. We got a lot of twos and threes tonight. Genesis 32, 22 through 32. And old Jacob, we've been talking about Jacob, or Pastor Carrie and Pastor Michael have over the past few weeks, talking about Jacob and his life. And this week he's going to have a wrestling match. And it's not a sport that I particularly like to watch, high school or college wrestling. But I used to be big into watching WWE. I enjoyed it. My daddy got me started on it when I was little. And in the 80s, the Von Erichs helped make it a little bit more enjoyable. But during COVID, how much I was into it, I would sign up and be in the virtual audience. They'd put your camera from your computer on there and you'd see yourself and wave and everything. So it was pretty cool. And I enjoyed it for a while until it started getting a little bit not what I approved of. But this week, we're going to talk today about how Jacob wrestles. And it wasn't a sport. It was a mental, but it was also physical. So wrestling with the thoughts of what I did or what I do, is that okay? I think about the past, I think about the future. Either way you look at it, when we wrestle in our minds, it's exhausting. And only God can get you through that. And sometimes wrestling with God and our thoughts is exhausting. But we get through it. As I said, over the past weeks, Pastor Michael and Pastor Carrie have been telling you about Jacob. And Jacob, from time to time, he took his first breath. He and Esau didn't get along. There was some jealousy there, much like most siblings have that little bit of a jealousy. Sibyl rivalry. If I can get my tongue untied, this might be a good sermon. I don't know.
Spit already.
Yeah. Ooh. But let me tell you, one chasing after the other's status. That's basically what Jacob did. He was chasing after Esau's status. And they wrestled on occasion. Well, good old Jacob had a wrestling match in our text today. So we're going to read these verses together, and we're going to look at these words that God has given us to help us understand everything. So if you would, if you have your Bible or your Bible app, opening it up to Genesis 32, verses 22. Mine is actually titled, Jacob Wrestles with God. It says, that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jacob. Sorry. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called this place Peniel, saying, "It's because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Jacob had a wrestling match. Now, Jacob had planned for this meeting with Esau. He had gotten word that Esau was coming. And so, as you've read in the prior chapters, he put together groups of individuals and sent them out before him with gifts and hopes to say, "Hey, this is from your brother Jacob. Jacob's giving you these things," trying to pacify some things that he obviously has done to Esau over the past, hopefully to ease his heart and so he won't be so mean when they do actually meet up together. And at least, well, that's how I feel. You know, Jacob was trying to smooth some things over by giving him all of these things. And these gifts were not small gifts. There weren't two or three cattle here and there. The numbers will equify about 500 head of cattle. Now, that's a lot of cattle. That's a pretty generous gift that Jacob was trying to pass on to Esau. But Jacob was now with just a few more of his people, two wives, two female servants, 11 sons, and they cross the ford, and then he sends over all his possessions, and now he's alone. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm alone is when I do some really deep thinking, and sometimes those thoughts can kind of wrestle with you. Well, he does think he's alone, but he's not. Okay, he's thinking, "I've got to pacify Esau," but he's not. He might be thinking about his positions of in life. What has he done? What have I done? What could I do to be better? However, He knows in the past he hasn't been upright. And he hasn't been the best towards his brother Esau. He's always scheming and swindling him and others. Again, Jacob wasn't alone. Verse 24. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. Now, this passage doesn't tell us exactly how long this wrestling match lasted, if it was a continual wrestling match. But according to God's word, it was until daybreak. We don't know what time they started, but it lasted a while. They're probably both worn out. The man said, I can't beat him. No matter how long it was, this was a wrestling match like no other that Jacob had ever encountered. It was physical, and though it was mostly physical, it was also mental. Thinking of the next move, and all the while thinking, who is this? He couldn't turn on a flashlight or whip out a cell phone to turn the light on to find out who this was. All he knew was it was somebody physically wrestling with him. But then something happens in verse 25. It tells us that the man touches Jacob's hip and it goes out of socket. Now, I've dislocated a few joints over the years. Thumb, shoulder, knee, all were very painful. And I cannot imagine the pain that Jacob felt when his hip was dislocated. I'm sure it was extremely painful. But it was also just enough to grab his attention and jerk him back into a reality state. The man tells Jacob to let him go. Man, he's tapped out. He said, I can't do it. But Jacob says, I'm not letting you go unless you bless me. Here's good old Jacob wanting something in return. I've done all of this. Now you need to give me something. But the man doesn't bless him right there. He says, okay, here's a blessing. No. He asks Jacob, what is your name? God always asks a question back. What is your name? Jacob. Now think about this for a moment. Jacob knows the man he has been in the past. He knows what he's done. He knows what he's done to his brother Esau. He knows what he's done to other people. And for that split moment, he may have wrestled with everything he's ever done to everyone in his entire life, including his brother. And he wrestled with that knowing people know who he is. I don't know about you, but have you ever encountered a time when everything goes through your brain at one time, 500 different things in that split second? And that's what was happening with Jacob, possibly. He was going, this man knows me. So he knows everything I am. I know everything I am. And then the man answers in verse 28, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. And why? Because you've struggled with God and humans, and you've overcome. You've overcome it all. Now, Jacob, knowing all of this, he's probably also wondering, great, people know me. He knows my name, but he's also changed it now. You see, even though Jacob had his past and he struggled with God and definitely with humans, and at that moment, that split second, God was wiping his slate clean and clear, and giving Jacob this new identity, Israel, meaning struggles with God. Jacob, or Israel, asked for the man's name, and of course God answers back with a question. Why do you ask my name? Now, I don't know if you watch NCIS, but I think it was probably like a Donoso slap on the back of the head. You know, dude, it's me. It's God. Why do you even have to ask who this is? Well, Jacob realized what had happened and who he was wrestling with. And he also realizes who dislocated his hip. And he knew God was wanting to get his attention and say, it is time for you to straighten up. And he got Jacob's attention. Jacob knew that I needed to do right and I needed to be a better person. For he knew who God was, obviously. He chased after God. He knew he was blessed. God had given him so many chances in life. Right? God gives us chances. We mess up. We go to him. We cry. We're good for a while. Then we mess up. We go back. It's that proverbial cycle. That proverbial Israelite cycle, as I call it. When we wrestle with our past experiences and maybe even recall something that we're just not proud of, we might feel like changing our identity in hopes that others will forget all of the stupid stuff we've done and all the wrong things we've done. But God knows us, and he knew that Jacob has been a chooser of bad ways. And he gave him a new name in hopes that Jacob would forget about his past and start over and do the right thing. And that's for us too. When we become one of his Christ followers, when we turn our life over to him, we are now a child of God. That is our name. What we've done in the past doesn't matter to him. He's forgotten it. He's wiped that slate clean and he has said, I'm putting it way over here. It's the enemy that tells us, hey, look what you've done. Nobody can forgive you about that. Nobody can love you. You're never going to amount to anything. That's the enemy. It's not God. God wants good things for you. He created you and he saw you good. He created Jacob and he wanted good from Jacob. He had to have a good wrestling match with him. Jerk his hip out of place to get his attention and say, now straighten up and go forward and do the right thing. Jacob was tired physically, mentally, and though he knew the area to be called near the ford where he sent his possessions across, he gave it a new name as well, just like he had gotten a new name, Peniel, the face of God. The face of God. Verse 30 tells us this. Jacob saw God face to face and his life was spared. I was talking to a young lady earlier this week that we meet each Tuesday night on Zoom, and I actually shared the sermon with her. And I said, have you ever thought about what it's going to be like to be face to face with God? When you stand before him, are you going to be able to look at him? Are you going to be able to look at him eye to eye, knowing everything that you've done in your past? I don't think I'll be able to look at him face to face. But I know he's still going to love me. We're going to have eternity for me to get through that, to be able to look at him face to face. But he's going to be so magnificent and so loving. And that's what God did with Jacob. He loves him. He just knew he needed to change. Well, after the sun came up, Jacob, or Israel, crossed Peniel, limping his entire way across the ford. And I don't know necessarily, but I'm pretty sure the people saw him coming across and they could see his limp. But I think they also saw something different about Jacob. The same man that they left the night before, but he looked different. And I don't know if you've ever seen someone when they've given their life to Christ, it's just like this new person. It's like that, you know, some people talk about your aura, okay? They're just glowing. They're excited. Also scared. You know, gonna have to change my whole life. What are people gonna think? Oh my goodness, can I really do this? Can I satisfy God? Again, all of those things going through your head for that split second. But Jacob, walking towards his family, they've seen some changes. And sometimes change can be fearful. We fear we're not going to be able to actually do it. I know I'm that way. Can I really do this? God doesn't always send us into greener pastures either. Sometimes we think that the moment we give our life to Christ, and when we're with Christ, and people often think this, when they see people, oh, your life's got to be great. You got butterflies and bunnies running through your field of green grass and rainbows all around. And no, no. God doesn't always throw us into the greener pastures. Sometimes he needs us to enter into an area of struggling so that we can be strong. Sometimes we need to be entered into places to where we help those who are struggling or wrestling with him. Maybe we're supposed to be with someone in their difficult, most darkest times to help them to be able to see God's light. The main thing is that we have to be obedient. We have to follow what he wants for us. And it's not easy sometimes. It's painful. Are you wrestling with something right now? Maybe asking God, why? What? When? I do this a lot, I tell you. I've known God for a long time, and I still wrestle. I know some of you wrestle. I know Pastor Michael wrestles, and Pastor Carrie wrestles. But being obedient and doing what he's asked you to do, to follow him and to trust him wholeheartedly, that he will get you through the wrestling matches. He will get you through the not so green pastures. He'll put a few butterflies and bunnies in there for you from time to time. But we have to be obedient. We have to trust just like Jacob did. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. If you're a longtime believer or a follower, or you're a new follower and you're learning about God, I implore you, ask questions. You might get a question back from God, but ask questions. Dive into his word. Ask him why. Cry out to him. Ask him to help you through the not so great pasture to get to that greener side. We have to just figure things out, and just know that wrestling is a good thing, because it means we're encountering what God has for us in our life. And it'll all work out, I promise you. So my question to you too, we're going to have just a time for us to kind of think over things. Are you wrestling right now? How are you wrestling? How can my past wrestling matches help others? You know, sometimes we forget about that. The things that we go through, God gets us through them, but also in order to help others during their wrestling matches. And have you ever experienced a time when God sent you to a place where things just weren't that easy, but the blessings were abundant? Our blessings are abundant. We can't count that high. I heard a song, I think it was by Phil Wickham last week, counting my blessings, and Lord, I just can't count that high. serve your wrestling. Let us know. We'll be happy to pray with you. Happy to help guide you through that. All my life, he's been faithful. I failed to remember that a lot of times. He's faithful. I might not have been. With my last breath, with all of my breath, I will sing of the goodness of God. I hope that if you have a wrestling match, your hip doesn't get dislocated, but that God does wrestle with you enough to get your attention, to maybe change a few things in your life, in your directions. I always like them. Michael can always come up with some good questions or some good thoughts, and we kind of start bouncing off one another.
Oh my goodness. I was thinking as you were doing that, later on in the story, Jacob is living and his sons have caused some trouble, and he doesn't know what he's going to do. He feels like he's in trouble. And in Genesis 35 and verse 1, it says, "Then God said to Jacob, 'Get ready and move to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau.'" Now, in every other situation where God talked to Jacob, Jacob said, "Okay, here's what you need to do for me." But for the very first time, verse 2 says, "So Jacob told everyone in his household, 'Get rid of all your pagan idols, purify yourselves, and put on clean clothing. We're going to Bethel.'"
Finally he gets it.
And so I've always struggled with this passage because it talks about how Jacob won the wrestling match with God. But I think you did a great job of just bringing out what that meant. It doesn't mean that he vanquished God or he conquered God. Mm-hmm. What it means is God said, "Okay, I think we're at a place now where you've learned the lesson that you need to learn." Mm-hmm. And then he shows later that that's the truth. And you brought that out really well, really well. Have any of you ever wrestled with God? You ever got an answer you didn't want and said, "Is there anybody else up there?" Right? I think that's the human experience, and I think that's what God put this story in here for, was for us to see that we are not unique in our wrestling with God, but we need to remember that he always really wins. He always really
wins. We're the ones that
tap back. We're the ones who eventually really receive the blessing. I think that's why that's important that blessing part came through.
Yes.
Is that in our wrestling with him, just like you said, it's acknowledging and experiencing God as you're wrestling. You can't say you don't believe in him and wrestle with him. So if you're wrestling with him, you're already admitting who he is. Mm-hmm. And that means that at some point you got to admit who's going to win. you got to get to that place. So, but the blessing that comes after that is because God sees that you have done everything you can to try to understand what it is he's trying to show you, what he's trying to tell you. And that's really great.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Jar with Pastors Michael and Carrie Rogers. If you're a believer in Christ looking for an opportunity to learn how to be a disciple maker, come see us at 702 H Street Northeast in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Our regular gatherings start on Sundays at 4 p.m., so you can still make it to see us today. Hope to see you soon.
I am filled.